started this Wednesday. This is our first Sunday. And I want to do a little reflection in our time remaining. It's been a full week, at least for me, bringing in Ash Wednesday, our evening with Brian McLaren on Thursday was just really refreshing and a blessing. And I know there was a bunch of you who wanted to be able to participate and weren't able, and asked if I could record the night, and I had it in my notes, pressed record, and I missed it. So I apologize about that. But there's a few things that took place on Thursday, and as we come into this season, that I thought offered a good reflection for our time. And next week there's a short series I have in mind that'll bring us toward Easter, and I'm looking forward to that as well. And Leah read the account of Jesus entering the wilderness that's recorded in Luke chapter 4. It's also recorded in Matthew 4, and those are very similar. Mark's gospel has it as well, and this is the most condensed account, so it's only two verses. At once the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So there's like a lot condensed in this passage. We have this 40-day season to participate in this part of Jesus's ministry. The 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness is this like grand metaphor too for the people of God after they left Egypt, you know, had a 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And there's, I think, a lot in the spiritual journey that follows wilderness. That wilderness is going to be a part of it. And, you know, we reflect on this each year, that it's the Spirit who had this in mind, that the next place for Jesus to go was out, was away, was separate from family, tradition, community. There was a leading outward. And from our conversation Thursday with Brian and his book Faith After Doubt, the first half of it is really this maturing journey that many people have observed, and he condensed it into like four, you know, growth rings in a tree, from simplicity, which as a child you're learning to distinguish one thing from another, so it tends to be pretty black and white and dualistic, to complexity, where you realize, okay, life is more complicated than that, but how do I pragmatically, successfully move in the world? So there's a lot of formulas and strategies. And you get to the point where, you know, life isn't a formula, and you're ushered into a whole bunch of perplexing questions, which are disruptive in a whole bunch of ways. And hopefully it can lead to a new sense of harmony, of reconciling all of these life realities together. And, you know, many of you have said, oh, it was a really helpful read of what kind of happens in each of these stages. And, you know, I'll kind of name perplexity as the wilderness season. That's a necessary part of our growing and maturing and leading, that the Spirit leads us into wilderness. And we kind of wrestle with all of the questions and temptations of life, much as Jesus did. This next slide is kind of where I want to pause our reflection. And this really comes out in Faith After Doubt, and it resonates with a lot of our stories, that we experience the wilderness is a place where our beliefs are disrupted. Maybe the disruption or the doubts of our belief lead us into that season of perplexity or into the wilderness. And we also experience that our beliefs are really wed to our experience of belonging. Our communities of belonging that have been forged with believing the same things. So there's this disruption of beliefs, and there's this disruptive of belonging. And chapter 10, where we had our discussion, was really this hinge to the rest of the book, which was a faith that moves beyond, you know, certainty of beliefs to a faith that's expressed in love. So I think one of the gifts of perplexity, or one of the gifts of the wilderness with disruptive beliefs, is this disruption encourage us to move from faith in beliefs to faith expressed in love. And then with belonging, or maybe, you know what, before I get to this slide, I want to read something. I'll go back. This is the very end of this book. So Tony and Pat listened to the audiobook and said the audiobook is really good, so you can do that. I would also say, if some of this makes you interested in getting this or reading this book, I know we've got a bunch of copies around. So I think even in the chat, if you're like, oh, I'd be interested in reading, I don't have the book, put that in the chat and see if you can borrow someone who's gotten through, who's read it all. So this moving from faith and beliefs to faith expressed in love. The last chapter is called You're Not Crazy and You're Not Alone. And, you know, there's a bunch of other books that Brian has written that I think really help. What I found in this wilderness of disrupted beliefs is, how do I understand what I've believed before? How has that changed? And in this book, Brian says, how do you kind of understand the simplicity, complexity, and perplexity of beliefs within the stage of harmony, and actually going back in harmony to your Christian tradition? And he's done this a bunch in some of his other books. Spiritual Migration is one. Naked Spirituality is one. Why Did Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, Buddha Cross the Road is one of kind of a theology through the lens of harmony. But here's just a couple paragraphs that this was a way for Brian to kind of incorporate the disruptions of belief and moving from faith in beliefs to a faith expressed in love. And I thought it at least expressed what this might look like for one particular person. So I want to read this. And this is page 206. The cracking open of my beliefs was not the destruction of faith, but its liberation into a new tender stage, a new fledgling consciousness, a new freedom to stretch my wings and fly. Looking back, I now see that underneath arguments about what I believed to be true factually, something deeper and truer was happening actually. For example, whether or not the creation story in Genesis happened factually as described in Genesis, I was committing myself to live in the world as if it actually were a precious, beautiful, meaningful creation, and as if I were too. So that's like the faith expressed in love. I believe I've actually been created beautifully, meaningfully, and preciously. Whether or not there was a factual tree in a factual garden with a factual talking snake, I was committing myself to actually live in the world aware that I have good and just limits that I should not exceed, no matter how tempting the fruit of power, pleasure, profit, or pride may be. Whether or not the Exodus story factually happened in history, I was committing to live in the world as if I and all my fellow humans were actually on a journey from oppression to liberation. Whether or not Jesus was factually born of a literal virgin, or walked on literal water, or multiplied literal bread, I was committing myself to live in the world as if what seems humanly impossible may actually become possible if we dare to live generously against all odds. What mattered most was not that I believed the stories in a factual sense, but that I believed in the meaning they carried so I could act upon that meaning and embody it in my life, to let that meaning breathe in me, animate me, fill me. The meaning was the hidden treasure, the hidden pearl, the spirit of the story hidden in its letters and words and punctuation. Whether I considered the story factually accurate was never the point. What actually mattered all along was whether I lived a life pregnant with the meaning those stories contained. To my surprise, when I was given permission to doubt the factuality of my beliefs, I discovered their actual life-giving purpose. I wanted to share that with you. I appreciated, you know, one person's wrestling with doubting and beliefs, and what faith moving from faith in beliefs to faith expressed in love looks like. Okay. Next. Into the wilderness of disrupted belonging. Faith in same beliefs to create belonging or in blood are being fractured. Yeah, you see it all over the globe. You see it in our country and in our own families. And for a lot of our questions and our longing on Thursday, there really is this wilderness of disrupted belonging. And this is where I want to spend the next few minutes. And a prayer that I'm, you know, is new to me, and I'm discovering has been helpful. And this was kind of a summary of several people's questions to Brian. My family is dismayed because we no longer share the same beliefs and that we may no longer belong to each other, or worse, that I no longer belong to God. You know, so there's this disruption of belonging within families, because you may have shared the same beliefs and now you don't, and you wonder if you belong to one another, or they may wonder if you still belong to God. Because really in our Protestant tradition, the last 500 years especially, you only belong to God if you believe the right things. And then we can belong to one another if we believe the right things. So our belonging to God and our belonging to each other is conditional, really, on us making a faith statement of beliefs. And a lot of us are experiencing the disruption of that idea, and then even the disruption of how it really affects our sense of belonging with one another. I share this so much, the overview effect, but it's been pretty significant for me. This is the experience that astronauts have when they see the Earth from space. And there really is this like unitive consciousness experience, almost a mystical experience that they report having. And this awareness that we all belong on this planet. Like, we're all in this boat flying through space together, and it's fragile and it's precious and it's alive. You can see the Earth like pulsing, like this living organism. And then there's, you know, 7 billion people on this planet, and we're connected to one another and to the ground and the Earth and the water and the air and the animals. It's all like intertwined and interconnected, you know, a harmonious sense of belonging. I'm watching the Apple TV series For All Mankind, which is this alternative history of the space program that starts in the 1960s. And I'm really enjoying it, but my one critique is the script and storyline, at least this part, really isn't incorporating this reality. I mean, there's a couple scenes where it's like you see them gasp when they see this, but it's not really transforming the way the astronauts are relating, and I feel like that's a big miss. That's my critique of the show, if you're interested. But I am enjoying it. Season 2 has just started, and that's my random tangent for the morning. But here, for me, is the meditation. That belonging is ultimate reality. So as we're in this wilderness of disrupted belonging, and belonging used to be about, do you share the same bloodline and tribe? And then when the printing press broke out, it brought this new technology where belonging could expand from tribe and blood to belonging can be about shared ideas and beliefs. And so that the bandwidth of belonging got bigger with beliefs. And in some ways it was like a good thing. It was the technology of the time, but it's like that is breaking down. And I think the gift of the wilderness of disrupted belonging is to get deeper. That belonging goes deeper than blood and beliefs. It's actually the bedrock of ultimate reality, that overview. We're all on this planet together. So we belong, whether we know it or not, believe it or not, like it or not, or feel it or not. We belong whether we do or do not share the same bloodline or beliefs. Belonging is deeper than beliefs, desires, and blood. We belong because we are all the beloved of God. I say full stop. So for me, You know, there was like a faith and belief to provide a secure sense of belonging to one another and God. And the wilderness and perplexity was a good gift of doubt that helped disrupt that, because I needed to go deeper. And for me now, faith is in the belovedness that God has unconditionally created for all of us. That belovedness goes beyond blood and beliefs. And as I've been kind of considering, you know, some of these things, it's just brought me deeper into this struggle. And I want to share this was something that Brian said on Thursday. And this was from Ian's question, which I really loved. He just vulnerably shared about the experience of how much hate there is in this country, and even like hate towards him, you know, specifically. And then when he goes to Uganda, it's just like there's cruel cruelness that exists too in these pockets, and it makes the commitment to love overwhelming and disheartening, and it's easy to kind of feel like you lose a sense of hope, and it is just painful to try to keep this commitment to love. And Brian had a lot of gracious things to say in this process, but this one really stood out to me. He said, I know a way you can try to get rid of the pain. You know, here's the strategy. Draw a good circle around you and those like you, and call yourselves the good guys, and name everyone outside your circle evil. That's a strategy to get rid of the pain. But it's a strategy, you know, that fails. But this was an aha for me, because I still see that this temptation in me. Some of the things that we're facing as a planet and as people, the problems are overwhelming, and the division is overwhelming, and the like, how can you think that way is overwhelming. And I'm asking this question: how do I try to mediate that pain, self-medicated by, you know what, it's the people who think like me and who are like me are like the good ones, and I'm just going to write everyone else off as irredeemably hopeless and cut off from belonging. And this isn't an easy question, but it was one that just caused me to ponder how I can practice this as a way to kind of try to survive or feel better. So I appreciated that about Thursday. And then it brought this prayer to mind that I want to share with you. So I wanted to get specific. So I'm using this prayer as a way to put someone specific name that I feel alienated from or no longer belong to or cut off from, perplexed by, angered by, to say I belong with this person, whether I know it or not, believe it or not, like it or not, or feel it or not, that I belong with. I invite you to put a name there. God, help me live into a belonging that runs deeper than blood, beliefs, and benefits. provide your gracious wisdom every step of the way. May my heart, soul, and mind be bound in your unbreakable embrace of belovedness. So this is a new prayer. This is since Thursday. I'm finding it's just helping me. And some of this, like, I just want to name, this might be too much too soon for you with a specific person. But for me, a lot of my wrestling and feeling cut off and do we belong to each other anymore, I want to come back to the deeper reality that belonging has to do with ultimate reality. We're in this together, whether I know it or not, believe it or not, like it or not, or feel it or not. God, help me live into a belonging that runs deeper than blood, beliefs, and benefits. We need that. Because belonging that stops with blood isn't good enough. Belonging that stops with we share the same beliefs isn't good enough. A belonging that's only about what mutual benefits there are simply is not. It's not good enough, strong enough, real enough. So God, provide your gracious wisdom every step of the way in the wilderness of disrupted belonging. May my heart, soul, and mind be bound in your unbreakable embrace of belovedness. I'll take a pause, see some of your comments. Long ago, I had a BSF leader advise me, a new student to the Bible, not to let the facts be stumbling blocks to reading and seeking the truth in the Bible. I was doubting the truth of the flood in one of my first in-depth adult look at this story. I've remembered this good advice for many years. It's a good approach to reading scripture and makes room for doubt. Thank you, Pat, for sharing that. Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. I've got one more. Blessing for us as we close, right? At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So I want us to receive a blessing today in the wilderness of disrupted beliefs and belonging. If your beliefs are being disrupted, may God be with you in the wilderness. Your sense of belonging is being disrupted. May God be with you in this wilderness. I'm going to share this poem by Jan Richardson. And this is for the season of Lent, and it's called Beloved is Where We Begin. It's a beautiful poem, and I thought very timely for us today. So, taking a deep breath. Hear this blessing. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are. Beloved. Named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what the journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name, beloved, beloved. I'm going to read this one more time. I want you to consider yourself entering the wilderness, being led by the Spirit. This road of disrupted beliefs, this wilderness of disrupted belonging, just as the angels came and attended Jesus among the wild animals and the accusing voice of the accuser and all the worries of this world and the disappointed voices of your journey. Consider Christ sending his angels to join you. And remember, beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are. Beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you, do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let your heart, to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what the journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of the sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path, there will be. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence, whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Amen. Take in a deep breath. We'll close our time with communion. You can gather something to eat and drink. Again, in the chat, I'd encourage you to share what's going on. What do you